Good afternoon on this blustery afternoon here in Juneau, Alaska. I'm Andy Klein, and you're listening to a Juneau afternoon here on KTOO News at 104.3. Today's forecast is calling for sunny skies, but there's a high wind watch with gusts around 40 miles per hour predicted near downtown Juneau and Douglas. Mostly clear tonight against, once again, 40-mile-per-hour wind gusts near downtown Juneau and Douglas, and lows in the mid-20s tonight. For tomorrow, again, sunny but locally windy, 30-mile-an-hour winds with gusts up to 50 miles an hour for tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, Friday night, 60-mile-an-hour gusts predicted. Same thing happening on Saturday, so high winds coming up here as we enjoy this sunny weather. But, you know, it doesn't come without, you know, a little bit of cost. We got to have some high winds in there too. So be careful out there on the water if you happen to be out there on the water. And high winds are in the forecast. Coming up next, National Native News with Antonio Gonzalez.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Bristol Bay residents in Alaska who helped shape subsistence policy on federal lands received an update Wednesday on efforts to improve tribal consultation. KDLG's Mike Mason has more.
Federal subsistence hunting and fishing policy is set by the Federal Subsistence Board. For advice and direction, that board relies heavily on regional advisory councils that are commonly called RACs. The Bristol Bay RAC started a two-day meeting Wednesday with a briefing on the newly adopted tribal consultation policy. Carl Johnson is with the Office of Subsistence Management. He noted that the new policy was approved by the Federal Subsistence Board in May of this year.
While the board has approved and finalized the tribal consultation policy, it is in the process of working on a draft implementation guideline, which will basically guide the mechanics of how we engage in tribal consultation. And the board will approve of that draft at its winter meeting in January. And then at your winter meeting, you will have the opportunity to review that draft implementation guideline so you can provide comment and feedback back to the board as it finalizes that next document for this process.
The approved policy governs the consultation process between tribes and the Office of Subsistence Management, but it does not cover the Alaska Native Corporations. That consultation policy was on hold until the U.S. Department of the Interior finalized its corporation consultation policy. Among the special guests for the ongoing Bristol Bay RAC meeting was Tim Towerick from Unalakleet. He's the chair of the Federal Subsistence Board. He remarked that the idea of including the Alaska Native Corporations in the tribal consultation process was a priority of the late Senator Ted Stevens.
He wanted them to be heard during the tribal process, so there's some tribal organizations in the whole state that don't like having the corporations being part of the tribal consultation process, but it's something that we can't do anything about. It's something that Senator Stevens created a few years ago, and it's a part of the legislative process that we can't change.
Back in August, the Department of the Interior finalized its Alaska Native Corporation consultation policy, and work is ongoing to develop the policy for the Office of Subsistence Management. That work is being done by a special consultation work group that includes federal and tribal representatives. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
The National Congress of American Indians is continuing Native vote efforts. NCAI Executive Director Jacqueline Peta has been meeting with tribal leaders recently in Alaska and this week in California.
We need everyone to be registered, we need them to vote, and we need to be able to make sure that you're responsible for making sure 10 other people get to the polls and vote. That's really important for us to be able to exercise our voice with our right to vote.
Peta says tribal communities can impact races.
Our Native vote has moved in critical states where there are close races, and in those races, we know the Native population will make a difference in those votes, and our issues get to be elevated by those who will potentially be moving forward to Congress, and that's really important for us. It's also important with the presidential elections. Both presidential candidates, Obama and Romney, have met with tribal leaders. Both of them have a Native American platform piece. It's really important for us that Native issues get elevated through the way the American public makes decisions around our leadership.
Efforts are also being pushed by grassroots groups. In New Mexico, the Native American Voters Alliance is encouraging early voting and is canvassing tribal communities talking about key issues. During this week in 2011, University of Manitoba President David Bernard apologized for Canada's Indian residential schools. Bernard said while post-secondary institutions didn't fund or operate them, the university failed to recognize and challenge the Indian residential school system. Many students claimed abuse at the schools. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
We've been working hard over the last few years to raise more of the money needed to pay for programming off-air and save our precious programming time for all of the shows that you love. That's where the Quiet Drive comes in. All monies raised now really do shorten the on-air campaign. So if that sounds like a good proposition to you, make your gift today by going to ktoo.org or by simply writing a check and popping it in the mail. Thanks.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, hosting today, and joining me in the studio right now is Maria Lovishuk and Kyle Rennick, both with the Glory Hole. And you've got great program going on right now, Maria, of the Glory Hole Holiday Baskets. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there.
Yes, every year the Glory Hole gives out about 300 Thanksgiving holiday baskets, and now is a good time to sign up. For people who are signing up, please call us at 586-4159 or go on our website, www.fitjuno.org, and get your basket. November 14th is the deadline for signing up. And for people who want to help us with items to put in the baskets, we need turkeys, hams, canned vegetables, butter rolls, and pies. And right now, we don't really have anything except for rolls and probably four turkeys. So it would be great to get some of those items.
Yeah, very good. So you're looking for people to make those contributions now, and that's a good way people can help put these together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about other things going on with the Glory Hole right now.
Well, right now we are in the middle of our weatherization project. It's really exciting. The University of Alaska Southeast Cold Climate Construction Program came up with a plan for us to make our buildings as energy efficient as an old building downtown can be. But the idea is that we're going to reduce our energy costs by 30% after this is done. So we're going to go all electric. We're getting new insulation and new siding and the new heating system. So it's really, really cool. And we're also going to be a different color.
Oh,
and it's
really
going to be very, very aesthetically pleasant. We're really excited.
Inside and out?
On the outside.
On the outside.
We're always changing colors on the inside. But
have you chosen the color yet?
We have chosen the color.
But can we name it? Is this a scoop?
It's a secret.
It's a scoop.
People have to come check it out.
Oh, I just want her to scoop here on
But no, but
Juno
you should
afternoon.
Come and look at it. And also our food has greatly improved. So check out the color on the outside, then come in and get a piece of pie.
Cool.
But and our backside is now done. So that's going to be
that's
a really
awesome.
Cool thing.
Kyle, you were saying just before we went on here, there's also a program going on with a kind of a labor program happening. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we've got the Glory Hole Community Works program. Thus far, we've try to focus on projects around Juneau that clean up and beautify our community so we can basically provide jobs for some of the folks who live at the Glory Hole and give them some of the benefits of work and at the same time provide a real benefit to the community. So we've worked in areas like Cote Park and Ronway and Pocket Park. And we did the coastal cleanup a few weeks ago. So just trying to help our community environmentally and help out some of the folks who maybe aren't quite ready for full-time work but are looking for something positive and productive to do during the day.
Yeah, very cool. You know, I was just reading the forecast. We've got cold weather coming our way, high winds happening. What are some of the challenges as winter approaches that the Glory Hole has to deal with every year and has to make sure that you're prepared for?
Well, it's really, I mean, that's why the weatherization thing is good, because I think it will reduce the amount of money we have to pay every year for heating the building up and stuff like that. But the interesting thing in the winter is that we can sleep probably about 41 people at the Glory Hole comfortably in beds. And every winter, we are overflowing, so that is really hard to have people be in conditions where we're kind of right next to one another. And a lot of them are veterans. A lot of them have PTSD, so it's really not an ideal situation. So just kind of having everybody get along with one another in such a little space.
So just the dynamics of having just a bunch of people in a small space and all trying to get along and all with their own challenges and...
But it's really amazing how well we actually get along considering the circumstances. And then, of course, you know, there are a lot of folks who don't stay at the Glory Hole who are homeless and who are staying outside. And that is really, really, really hard, because I think it is going to be cold. And we are accepting camping gear that we will give out to people. So if you have old sleeping bags or old tents or things like that, please bring them by and we'll distribute them. And also socks and coats and hats and gloves and things like that. They would love to get them, because people come by all the time looking for stuff like that.
Yes. Is there any other ways that you can think of that people can help? Just someone who's listening now, maybe they've seen someone who seems like they're in an exposed area, that kind of thing, not getting shelter, or maybe just in a general way?
I think, you know, pretty much like giving us clothing and camping gear is really good. And also, you know, if you see somebody on the street and you think it's safe, just maybe ask them what they need. You know, like yesterday, Valley Lumber brought us two boxes full of new gloves.
Awesome.
And that was so great, and that was so useful and so necessary. So, you know, things like that, not give people money, but give them things that they will be able to use.
Right.
And another great way to help is actually to help us by buying some tamales for our great tamale fundraiser.
Tell me about the tamale fundraiser. This sounds
thank
fun.
Thank you. The tamale fundraiser is actually kind of amazing, because one of our staff members, Eleanor, was able to get El Sombrero, El Zarape, and Olivia de Mexico restaurant to make tamales. So we're going to make 3,000 tamales. And we're going 3,000 tamales. And they're going to be made with ingredients that we're going to bring from California, like the day before they make the tamales.
Oh, so the real deal.
Some
cornmeal
and hojas, and then all the chilies are going to be all fresh from there. And people can get bags of 12 of tamales, and they're going to be pre-cooked, so you don't have to do anything except for steam them. And there we're going to have chicken and pork and
vegetarian
and dessert tamales.
Dessert tamales?
Yeah, and we can deliver them
What's
to
a dessert
your house.
Tamale?
Oh, dessert tamale is this wonderful, amazing thing. It's like a little tamale and has this sweet filling with little sweet fruits and little... It's really nice.
Okay, it sounds good. I'm sold.
Yeah. And
maybe a bag of each is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to need... So what's the deal on it? What's the damage on a bag of tamales?
Well, the damage on a bag of tamales is $60 for one bag, or $50 if you get two bags. But you also can...
$50 for each bag if you get two bags.
Yeah,
I want to make... That sounded like a screaming deal for two bags there for a second. Okay. Okay.
But another great thing is that Coastal Helicopters and Blue Dog Kennels, who do the dog sledding tour on the Herbert Glacier, donated a tour to us. So when you get a bag of tamales, you get a chance of getting a tour over the ice field and a tour on the glacier with the dogs for $700. Except for you get it for free because you got the tamales. And during our weatherization project, we found some rot in our building.
Okay.
So we actually really need to sell this 3,000 tamales because we need to pay for the rot repairs.
I don't want to have to eat 2,000 tamales.
That's right. I don't want Kyle shouldering that burden. No. And like any time you tear apart a little bit of an old building, you find, okay, here it is. This is the hidden expense we didn't know we were going to have. But, I mean, it needs to be done. That building serves so many people and serves such a vital purpose in this community. It's something that we can all get behind. So, well, thanks so much for talking to us about all the great stuff that's happening at the Glory Hole. Give the number one more time. People can call for the holiday gift baskets and for all the stuff that that you're talking about.
Please call 586-4159 extension 2 or just email us at info@feedjuno.org.
Maria and Kyle, thanks so much. Oh, do you want to mention one more thing? Kyle, go ahead.
There's going to be a Halloween party at the Glory Hole this year.
Okay, what on Wednesday?
On Halloween, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We're going to have treats and songs and all sorts of fun for all ages.
Sounds awesome. All right. Glory Hole is a huge part of this community, and do your part and help those who could use a little bit of help right now by contributing to the Glory Hole, your time, your energy, or just buy some tamales.
Please buy some tamales. We're going to be really good.
Well, you maybe recently, especially on First Friday, saw zombies staggering around town, and maybe you've seen them walk, but I don't know if you've ever seen them run. There's a zombie run, however, coming up, and with me in the studio right now is Jenny Summers, Jeanette Lacey Dunn, and Andrew. They're all here. Thanks, you guys, for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So tell me about the zombie run. How are you going to get zombies to run?
Well, the zombies hopefully aren't going to run. The runners are going to run. We are directing a 5K and a 1 mile fun run also. So if there's some kids or adults who want to come out and just do a short run, that's fine too. It's this Saturday, October 27th. Registration starts at 8:30.
Okay.
And then the 1 mile will start at 9 o'clock, followed by the 5K at 9:30. And the idea about this is there's going to be zombies.
Yeah, where do the zombies come in?
They're in the woods.
Oh, I see. You're running from the zombies.
Exactly.
You are.
That's awesome. Was this your idea, man? You came up with this? Really? That's awesome. How'd you come up with this idea to have a zombie run where you're running away from zombies?
Well, I was thinking of Halloween and... I was thinking of like a zombie ninja, and that's how I got the idea.
Nice. You know, like some movies, they have zombies that run. Like, I don't know, you ever seen 28 Days? And that's where the zombies run fast. But I think I like the ones that stagger.
Right.
Those are my favorite kind of zombies.
Or like I Am Legend.
I Am Legend? Is that? Yeah, that's another one, right? Very good. All right, so cool. Great idea. So tell me what this all goes towards.
So we are going to work with Coach Zach Stenson at Harborview to expand our marathon club to triathlon club.
Oh, awesome.
And so what we're doing is we're going to have three different runs throughout the school year, and all of the proceeds are going to go to support the triathlon club. And our goal is to help the kids who train and want to go to participate in the kids' version of the Julie Hughes Triathlon in Sitka in May.
So, very cool.
That's what we're working toward.
And this triathlon, the channel's a little cold. You don't have to ride with wetsuit. No. Mm-hmm. So obviously you run, you do laps in the pool, right. And you combine that with, is there a cycling route? Mm-hmm. And where mm-hmm. the, where would the cycling route go? Or have you guys figured that kind of stuff out yet? Or
well, this is the Julie Hughes.
Oh, this is the one that's in Sitka.
In Sitka,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So right. the funds will help kids travel on the ferry and get over
gotcha.
There and have lodging. So.
Okay, very cool. What yeah. time of year is that, and when's that happening?
That happens in May.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right. Yeah. So what's the idea behind going from the running to expanding it to triathletes? Is there a demand for that? Are kids asking and wanting to do that kind of stuff? Is that
well,
what's going on?
We just, I guess, looking at the instance of obesity in kids and it's even extending into young adults now, starting at a young age and instilling, nutrition and exercise and community in our kids right now is a great way to start a nice, healthy lifestyle. So we're working with the elementary school to try to get kids active and healthy.
Yeah, it's cool. And like giving them just as another opportunity and another type of thing to try to just try out and to maybe excel at and all those kinds of things is really exciting.
And yeah. to view it as something as fun.
Yeah.
I mean, these events can be fun and themed, and it can be for the whole family.
Exactly. It can be an individual sport that you're doing on your own. You can be biking, swimming, running on your own, but there's also a big sense of community involved in this sport as well. So just showing kids that.
And also it trains you for the coming zombie apocalypse.
Exactly.
Which I think is important.
Right, exactly.
You can never be too prepared for zombies.
Right.
Am I right, Andrew?
Yep.
Absolutely. You're with me on this. Well, tell us a little bit more about the details and how people can get involved.
Okay. We have registration, like I said, at 8:30 Saturday morning. We're going to meet out at the main shelter at Sandy Beach. Most of the run is going to be in the actual,
Treadwell Trail.
Yep. Treadwell Trail.
Sure. Yep.
And then the last half mile or so is going to be up the beach where there's probably going to be some of those faster moving zombies. The woods is going to definitely be the lumbering slow zombies.
I see.
Each runner is going to have two flags and the zombies are going to try to steal the flags.
I see. Okay.
Right.
So if you could cross the line with just at least one flag
you're
on.
You're only maimed.
You've just got a little
right.
bit of a flesh wound.
Flesh wound. You should survive.
You'll survive. But of course, sooner or later, you're going to turn into a zombie.
Right.
I mean, it's a bittersweet victory,
that's
I think,
right.
if you have one.
Yeah. And if you have flags, you get additional opportunity to win prizes. So everybody who enters, who registers, will be entered into our drawings. However many flags you have at the end, that's how many more entries you get into our drawing. We have a lot of great prizes from our sponsors.
And we would love to mention sponsors if we
yeah,
have a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the sponsors. Well, yeah.
We Pavitz and Alaska Outfitters have been great. You can register there, pre-register anytime up until Saturday or up until Friday when they close.
Is that right. Nugget Alaskan Outfitters?
Nugget Alaskan and Pavitz.
Great. They're both great organizations, yep.
Right. I'll probably pick up registration around 4 o'clock on Friday.
Okay.
So you can go there and register up until 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Cool. All right.
The Juneau Emergency Medical Association was a great sponsor for this event. Costco, Foodland IGA. I don't know if you want to do a few of those.
Sure. Hearthside was great.
Okay.
And Shoefly, Imagination Station, Cycle Alaska, Heritage Coffee, Blockbuster, Alaska Fudge Company.
We want to say something really special about the Southeast Roadrunners Club because this is Jeanette and my first time directing a race. And they have been incredible. All of the people that we talked to through the Southeast Alaska Roadrunners Club have been wonderful. Super helpful.
Great.
We want to thank Harborview Rally for helping with some of our posters that we made, and Pie in the Sky also. So
nice. Well, that's an awesome list of people
who
have helped.
And Andy Klein for having us on his show.
Hello. Thank you. I was wondering when you're going to get to that. Come on.
I did just want to mention, we really do live in a great community where so many people are willing to come together and help support our kids. And it's just been really, I think, wonderful for both of us to see just how great of a community we really live in.
Awesome.
So.
All right. The Zombie Run, it's happening down at Sandy Beach Saturday at 9 a.m. And pre-registration?
8:30.
Right. Pre-registration?
People, can register to be runners or zombies.
Ah, okay, so very important point.
Just so they know.
Okay, now, do they have to be prepared fully as the zombie when you come, or will there
it
be some opportunity for...
Highly encouraged.
Okay, yeah.
We'll have a little extra makeup there, but you know, they should do their part before they show
up. Or costumes. We would like to say, too, any kids who don't want to be zombies can come in their Halloween costumes and still be chasers.
All right, be chasers. All right. Well, Andrew and Jeanette and Jenny, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
us. All about
us.
The zombie run happening Saturday.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun to promised lands to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love. What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
He rich. Is he rich like me? Has he taken us
any time to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. And in the studio now with me are two Girl Scouts, former Girl Scouts, still Girl Scouts.
Still Girl Scouts.
You never graduate fully from Girl Scouts, right? Once a Girl Scout, always a Girl Scout. And actually, you're very important to Girl Scouts because you're the new Alaska CEO of Girl Scouts, Sue Perlis.
Yes. Thank you very much. I started October 1, and it's great fun to be here.
And also with us is Tara Lee Ellis, who's the local representative of Girl Scouts of America. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
For Southeast Alaska.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, Sue, tell me about, first of all, are you new to Alaska, or are you just new to this position?
Good question. My family lived in Fairbanks when I was a teenager, and I've been back and forth ever since, but I'm new to Girl Scouts of Alaska, and it's great fun to be here.
Yeah, great. So tell me what's in front of you. What are some of the challenges happening with Girl Scouts, and specifically to, I mean, I would think that being a Girl Scout in Alaska, of all places, is like the dream location to be a Girl Scout. I mean, you know, talk about opportunities for outdoors and for all this kind of stuff. It must be amazing.
And it is a wonderful place to be a Girl Scout. In the summertime, we run camps. We have day camps all across the state. We own two camp properties in the Anchorage area, and we use camp facilities in Southeast Alaska, so there's lots of opportunity to get the outdoor experience. And there's lots of things that Girl Scouts can do. Nowadays, we have leadership programs. We have all kinds of programs for girls to participate, for example, in what's called STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. We have opportunities for girls to participate in Lego robotics teams and just a host of activities in addition to what people traditionally think of as Girl Scouting.
I've gotten to be the MC at the Lego Robotics Challenges here in Juneau for the past 4 years. It's the most exciting thing I do all year, I think, is watch these kids battle it out on the field of honor.
And if there are girls out there who would like to participate, Girl Scouts always has Lego teams.
Yeah, very cool. And that's funny. Let's talk about this one thing a little bit. When we mentioned Girl Scouts, I immediately, of course, jumped to outdoors and camping and things like that. But tell me about some of the things that Girl Scouts have the opportunity to do that maybe we don't typically associate with Girl Scouts.
Well, perhaps the one which is most popular with Alaskan girls is we have programs where girls can travel. And they earn credits, for example, selling cookies. They work throughout the year. And the troop can then really make an extensive trip somewhere. Girls travel literally all over the world. Last year, we had a troop that went to Japan. I was in Ketchikan yesterday, and there's a troop there that has plans to travel to Georgia. So we have girls who travel within the state, but also around the globe.
Yeah, amazing. Terlee, tell me a little bit about what's happening specifically in Juneau and Southeast. So you cover all of Southeast, and where are there troops throughout Southeast?
Sure. I cover Upper Southeast from Skagway to Haines to Angoon and Hoonah, and we have one Girl Scout in Tenekee and Pelican, and a huge presence here in Juneau with over 300 girls. They have been active. Last week I threw a foil cooking party down at Sandy Beach, pouring down rain, cold, but my girls were happy making dinner and putting them in the fire and exploring that. And then later the week we did a compass and map reading out at Skater's Cabin, and they were just amazing out there to do adventures and learning different things of how to read maps and signs. Girls are very active here in Juneau, and there's always an opportunity to get involved.
Yeah, really exciting stuff. Are there challenges that you feel that girls have today that Girl Scouts help them cope with that might be different than what's happening with boys and that kind of stuff?
Well, one of the things that Girl Scouts is quite proud of is we teach our girls to be confident and courageous, and to have good character. All of our activities, even though there may be adults there to guide, all of our activities are girl-led. So the girls really are making their own decisions and determining the direction that their projects or their troops are taking. And we strongly believe that this helps to build girls into women who are going to contribute and become leaders in whatever their chosen field is.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some of the big events coming up for Girl Scouts in Alaska and maybe in Southeast? What are some of the big things you guys are looking forward to?
We have two significant events going on this year. One here in Juneau is an annual event where we run an auction. And maybe you want to, Terlee, maybe you want to talk a little bit about the Juneau auction?
Sure. The Juneau auction will be March 2nd down at the Jack. Again, it's a great way to meet Girl Scouts and fundraise for a great cause. And then our other main...
What sort of stuff gets auctioned off? Or how do you get the items and all that stuff?
We have coveted Girl Scout cookies, always.
Well,
auction.
Of course. No. Well, I was assuming.
Assuming, yes. things from donation from Wings Alaska, like the Taku Lodge, Taku Salmon, just amazing things comes out of the woodwork.
Mostly
to be
from
donated.
The business community kind of in Juneau and
exactly.
Artist community and stuff
artists.
Like that. Yeah,
great. Yeah, we'll have jewelry donated, art donated, trips on different airlines,
sure.
Railroads, whatever. Get donated. Sometimes a dinner cooked in someone's home will be donated.
Those are always
popular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are great.
Restaurant vouchers get donated. So people are very generous. But it's a fun evening, and if someone in town wants to support Girl Scouts, it's a good night to turn out.
Yeah, great. Now, you're based in Anchorage.
I am.
Do you see a difference between the Girl Scouts activities and stuff that happens in Anchorage compared to other places in the state or compared
you know,
to
every,
Southeast?
Every community approaches Girl Scouts a little bit differently. They have different challenges and different opportunities. Anchorage certainly has activities you can do just by sheer numbers. It's where the largest number of Girl Scouts are in the state. And we have two camp properties in the Matanuska Valley that are 30, 40-minute drive from Anchorage. So those girls all have, you know, those resources. But we have Girl Scout troops in villages and small towns all across the state. Girls sometimes participate nowadays over the internet. They'll do video conferencing. So we might have a big event going on one place, but girls in a small town can also participate. And we have a strong tradition in Southeast Alaska of having very active Girl Scouts.
And do you plan on trying to visit most of these places and your tenure as the new CEO?
I like getting out of the office,
uh-huh,
so I'll
yeah,
be
sure.
out and about as much as I can. We run Women of Science Days all across the state where women who are scientists and engineers spend a day inspiring young girls and letting girls get hand-on experience with different kinds
that's
of...
That's an exciting
It's a very
yeah,
exciting, and
great.
I'm going to go to as many of those as I can.
That sounds good. All right. Well, if someone's interested in getting their young a girl or a friend of theirs or something like that involved in Girl Scouts, how, Terlee, tell folks how they can get in touch with you.
So you can start out being a Daisy at age 5 in kindergarten all the way up to high school. We have plenty of troop, any camps and series and events that girls can get involved, and as well as a need for adult leaders or volunteers to help kind of guide these girls if you're interested.
Now, that's a good point I hadn't thought of, but of course the leaders of these are really important.
Right. We're a volunteer-run organization, and leaders, I was a Girl Scout leader for many years, and you get to have fun with the girls. You get to be a girl. You're once a Girl Scout, you're always a Girl Scout. You're building a sense of community involvement and just how you make the experience what you want to make it for everyone in here. And you can give me a call at 586-1710 or visit the website at girlscoutsalaska.org.
Great. Well, Tara Lee and Sue, thanks so much for telling us a little bit about Girl Scouts and welcome to your new position as the Alaska CEO. Sounds like a dream job.
I believe that I have the most fun job in Alaska. And for those of you out there who may not get an opportunity to volunteer and help out, buy some cookies this spring.
You can always buy cookies.
Absolutely.
It's the easiest way to help Girl Scouts. All right. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Here's Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 25th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist Anne Tyler, born in Minneapolis, 1941. Her family moved to various communes, and she grew up mostly in the mountains of North Carolina, where they raised milk goats and grew their own food. She learned folk crafts and traditional music. When they moved the family to Raleigh, she was sent to public school, and she had never used a telephone. Her feet were calloused from going without shoes. Anne Tyler said of her childhood, "I learned to be alone and to entertain myself by imagining, and when I left the commune, I looked at the regular world from an unusually distant vantage point." One summer, she was working as a teenager on a tobacco farm, and she found a book by Eudora Welty at the library, including the short story The Wide Net. And it changed her life, particularly one line of the story, which was, "Edna Earle could sit and ponder all day on how the little tail of the sea got through the L in a Coca-Cola sign." And Tyler said it was a kind of revelation. "I knew dozens of people like Edna Earle, small town, ordinary. I just didn't know you could write about them." She went to Duke. She fell in love, got married to an Iranian-born medical student, moved with him to Montreal, started working on a novel. Her first novel came out in 1964, If Morning Ever Comes. She was 22. A year later, another, The Tin Can Tree. Moved to Baltimore, 1965, where she's lived ever since. Most of Anne Tyler's novels are set there. She said it's a city with grit and sort of a feisty spirit to it. I think it's a very funny city, and I love it. But any Baltimorean can tell you I'm not a real Baltimorean. Anne Tyler, who was never interested in being in the spotlight, doesn't do book tours or author appearances, stopped reading reviews of her books 30 years ago, gave her first in-person interview in more than 30 years earlier this year. Her most recent book is The Beginner's Goodbye. And it was on this day in 1400 that Geoffrey Chaucer died. He'd spent his life working as a civil servant. He'd been the comptroller of customs. He kept the books on export taxes for wool, sheepskin, and leather that went through the Port of London. Lost his job in 1386, and that was about when he began writing the Canterbury Tales. When he died 14 years later, the tales were unfinished. His plan was to write about 120 of them, but in the manuscript Chaucer left behind, there are just 24. Here's a poem for today by Robert Frost, an uncollected poem from 1921. "To prayer I think I go to prayer, along a darkened corridor of woe and down a stair, in every step of which I am abased. I wear a halter rope about the waist, I bear a candle end put out with haste. For such as I, there is reserved a crypt that from its stony arches having dripped, has stony pavement in a slime of mold. There I will throw me down, an unconsoled and utter loss, and spread out in the figure of a cross. Oh, if religion's not to be my fate, I must be spoken to and told before too late. A poem, To Prayer I Think I Go, by Robert Frost, from his Collected Poems, Prose and Plays, published by Library of America, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vedder, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Programming support comes from Balloons by Night Moods, offering new and used Halloween costumes for all ages. Balloons by Night Moods, located at 9342 Glacier Highway in the Valley. More info at 523-1099.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from its slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
Well, you'll have an opportunity to do the monster mash at Halloween at the Glacier that's coming up on the 27th, and Irene Morris and Jane Terry are with me now from the Glacier. How you guys doing? Thanks for coming in.
Great. Good. Well, thanks for having us.
Tell me a little bit about this at the Visitor Center. The Saturday before every Halloween, you guys do this?
Yeah, it's an annual event. It's been going on for at least 10 years, and we've been doing it, working on it for at least 5 years. So it's really neat that all the community gets to come out. It's an activity that's good for all ages, so everybody from the little guys all the way up to teenagers, and of course the parents can come in costume too, so it's really neat.
Tell me a little bit about how Halloween at the Glacier is different than maybe if you went to Halloween at some other location. What kind of stuff are you guys doing out there at the Visitor Center?
We have activities that are education-based, so it's a great place. It's an awesome setting, as you know, the Glacier.
Obviously, gorgeous.
Couldn't be better than that, but we have activities that are focused on learning a little bit about the natural wildlife that's out there, the wildlife, especially the bears, the beavers, porcupines, all sorts of guys, bats, owls, and eagles, ravens. But we have activities that are fun, but kind of give the kids an idea that there's more to life than just looking at the wildlife, actually learning about it.
Yeah, I mean, actually, now that you mention it, it makes so much sense. Ravens and owls and bats and all these great things that we associate with Halloween are really actually all right there out at the
exactly
at the Visitor Center, and you have examples of them there as well, and people can learn about them, take a little bit of the Halloween mystery out of some of these creatures.
Or add more interest, you know?
Yes.
So once kids start getting curious, then that leads to more learning opportunities, and kids love to come out to the Visitor Center, and we have a activity area set up for them so they can come out and explore during the winter. We're open Fridays through Sundays.
Irene, do you get involved directly with the kids and kind of explain to them different stuff? Is that
I always come to the Halloween with a bird. And I have an owl now, which is real spooky. In fact, it's a barn owl. But
barn owls are really cool. They have those really neat eyes.
They have white face and white underneath, and they make a blood-curdling scream. They don't go, hoo, hoo, hoo. And they have these white face, and they used to actually be called ghost owls. They're called barn owls because they usually nest in old barns or old churches or old buildings. And when they would come out of the corner of the building, all white, white-faced, and their face is kind of shaped like ours. It's kind of a heart. heart-shaped face with these dark eyes. And so they'd come out there with this blood-curdling scream, and so people thought they were ghosts. And so they actually have been called ghost owls. So we're going to have Nugget. That's our barn owl with the Juno Raptor Center. And he'll be there all day. So he and what I do is I explain a little bit about sure. where they came from, and they actually are not indigenous to Alaska, but we happen to get one. So I teach a little bit about owls and stuff, but it's the whole spooky thing.
Yeah, but so tell me some of the challenges as a handler of an owl that might be different than when you're dealing with a hawk or a falcon or things like that. Is there a difference, or are they fairly similar?
Well, most raptors, they're all raptors. Owls, hawks, falcons, and eagles are all raptors, and it's a general term for birds that pick up their food with their feet, for one thing. They're totally carnivorous, for another thing. But generally, they have very sharp talons and very sharp beaks, and so that's why you always have to wear gloves with them, because they're always trying to bite you or grab you. And so that's a little bit different than, although ravens are known to have terribly strong clutch. If you ever got bit by a raven, they don't let go.
They're tenacious.
Oh, they don't let go. Mean. They just clamp onto you.
Right.
But it's not quite as sharp, you know, where right. I've gotten bit quite a bit by Nugget, actually, because he doesn't like his jesses put on. And so when I put him on, he usually bites me.
Okay.
But owls, the different thing about owls is most of them are nocturnal. So
right.
we don't see them very often. And we actually have a lot of owls in Juno.
Yeah, we do. What type of owls are here mostly?
We have northern saw-whet owls, northern pygmy owls. We have barred owls that are basically, they've only been here for about 30 years. But we have a lot of great horned owls.
Really? There's great horned owls in Juno?
Oh, yeah. Those are the ones that you'll hear at night that make the hoo-hoo sound. They
sure.
make the typical. But the northern pygmy owls and northern saw-whet owls, we see them a lot. Usually you only hear them maybe between January and April, and usually most of them are nocturnal, so you're going to only hear them at night, but there are some that are in the daytime. But
right.
we don't realize we have 9 different species of owls here in Juno that we see.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating. What do you hear? What are some of the number one questions or things that especially kids ask when they come out during this event, or maybe even just in general when they come out to the glacier? Are there certain parts of the visitor center they're really particularly drawn to and question?
Well, I'd have to say they pretty much go along with what the adults ask. They want to know about where the bears are and why is the ice blue, things
sure.
like that. Normal questions that, you know, it's you'd find at a glacier, and that's what we're real happy to be able to explain. And there are activities, a backyard series of activities for kids where they can come out and learn about all sorts of animal behavior. And especially for this activity, we were talking about having owls, but we're also going to be investigating what the owls eat, because they ingest their food and then they regurgitate it. And so you have pellets that you can actually study and see what the owls have been eating.
And that's pretty spooky. A lot
yeah.
of bones,
not
a lot
right,
of
right.
fur, a lot of little
yeah,
creatures.
The non-digestible parts.
Yes.
They throw it all up.
Right. They're regurgitating it as opposed to letting it pass all the way through the digestive system, which is interesting in itself. And we're going to have an exhibit based on different types of teeth, because an herbivore, an example would be a beaver, only eats bark and stuff like that. It doesn't eat meat. So its teeth are going to be different than, say, a bear that eats all sorts of different food. So, and the beaks. Irene was mentioning how they have really sharp beaks, the raptors'
right.
beaks. So we have activities that let kids explore ideas like that.
Wow, sounds so great. So the Halloween at the Glacier, it's happening on the 27th. What time of day is it starting?
From 11 to 1.
Okay, 11 to 1. It's all happening out there at the Visitor Center at the Glacier. Anything else happening? Preview any other events coming up at the Visitor Center beyond Halloween?
Well, we do have the area that I mentioned in the Visitor Center for kids to come and play. We're open from 10 to 4 Friday through Sunday, so kids can come out then and
parents.
Right.
It's encouraged
for
parents to bring their kids out, because it's a nice educational, fun area.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's where the bookstore normally is.
Okay.
And make sure, yeah, its costumes are definitely encouraged on Saturday.
Right, absolutely. Exactly.
Right.
Because
even we wear costumes.
And the volunteers that are helping. And I have to thank all the volunteers that come and help. We have high school students that come and help, and we have other Forest Service people that come and help. And just the community in itself comes out. So it's a real community effort, and it's really fun.
Great. Well, Jane, Irene, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks,
appreciate
Andy.
It. That's Halloween happening at the Glacier. Of course, one more animal. I don't know if there's any out there right now for a great Halloween animal. The wolf. Any wolves out in the Glacier area that you guys are hearing lately?
Actually, it's a little early.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Usually they don't show up until the ice is on the lake.
Okay.
Because that's what they generally use that as walking across there. So
okay.
That's
so
about
that
the time.
Might still be to come. We might. We don't. Never can tell.
Right,
but we
right.
might hear some wolves out at the glacier this winter again.
Could be.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Never know.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Spooky. Nancy DeCherney just got it.
I'm here in my little room.
That's right. How are you doing?
It's great.
Good,
it's
good. Well, let me know what's. We're here for Arts Up, of course, here at Thursday Arts Up.
Oh, it's heating up, let me tell you.
So, what is. Of course, it's Halloween weekend, as we were just talking to the folks at the Visitor Center. So, what's going on as we head into Halloween weekend?
Well, starting tonight at 5 o'clock is the Saturday thing after dark, and they say this is for geeky adults only. I don't know what to say about that.
I think we all qualify in some way, right? We all
self-defining.
Must qualify.
So that's at the Juneau Economic Development STEM office, which is in the Foodland Center. At 6 o'clock, there's a Tlingit Law presentation, which is a Chilkat Valley storyboard project. This is via the OWL video conferencing thing that happens at the downtown library, and it's free, and it's 586. 0442 for more information about that. The Nickelodeon's got all sorts of fun movies running through the whole weekend. Robo,
and they've had it going here this whole week. They've been doing
stuff.
Halloween, the Mike Myers stuff, all that stuff. Yeah,
it's
right.
Very fun stuff. So go check out their website and see what they got going on because there's too many things to think about. 7:30 tonight is the free preview of Macbeth.
Very
nice. Scary.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, so we're getting into the season where you're going to have to start carefully planning your weekends because you're going to miss something.
The Macbeth thing, Aaron Elmore was here yesterday, and one thing that's exciting about that production is that they're going to the way they've staged it is that they've put the audience on both sides of the kind of viewing area, and so a lot of the action happens down through the middle of the audience.
Oh, how very cool!
Yeah, so it should be
That's
really fun.
Nice flexible little space. I really like that theater. At 9 o'clock, and sort of all through the weekend, you're going to have opportunities to see a really scary movie, Halloween. Various locations, like just be on the alert in case it sneaks up on you or something. I don't know what to say. Friday at 5:30, there's Halloween activities at Nugget Mall. They're going to be going on all weekend. They have a haunted house, a carnival, photos in the pumpkin patch, all kinds of fun stuff. The Saga people have a haunted house, which they're doing on Friday and on Saturday. The one on Friday is a benefit for the Tongass Girl Scouts, I think. And then they have, like, terror trails.
Yeah, this is all the way out at Eagle Lodge, right? I mean, this is all the way out the road.
Yeah.
So be prepared and go out there and, terror trails.
Yes, ooh.
That sounds too scary.
Yeah, it's too scary.
I'm already scared on trails. I don't need to be more scared on trails.
They've got these bears all trained.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay.
They rub you down with meat first. to miss. Yeah, go ahead, go for bacon. It.
$3 or $10 for a carload. And if you need more information about that, 723-7035. 6 o'clock at Friday night is the UAS, the annual alumni beer and wine tasting over at the Prospector. Always
nice.
A good time. And that supports the scholarship funds at the University of Alaska. You can call 796-6569 to get tickets for that. There is also at 6 p.m. somewhere, and I don't know where, Shoot for the Cure, which is by the Juno Gun Club, and it supports Cancer Connection. So if you want to find out where that is, you'll have to call.
It's got to be out at the rifle range, right?
Well,
at Montana
we would
Creek.
Hope.
I would think. They're not just going to pick some location.
But who knows? You know,
who
it
knows?
Just said call for location.
Okay.
So, okay, 789-9844.
All right.
Okay, then. So you could also do swing dancing at Pavitt Health at 6:30. That's 7 p.m. Emily Wall will be reading from her new book of poetry, Live Aboard. That's offered by the Friends of the Library at the Downtown Library. It's free. The Evening at Egan is about UAS in Cuba. It's a bunch of students that
yes.
travel. Did you talk with them, folks?
I haven't talked with them, but I know about this. It sounds mm-hmm. really exciting. They were yeah. in search of El Papa and Che and all that, and it sounds like a really a kind of transformative experience for those students, yeah.
So this is an opportunity to get their report back on that. It's free. Even Egan Lecture Hall at 7 p.m. Double feature. At the Rockwell Ballroom. Mad Monster Party and Halloween. They're not going to let kids into the Halloween section of
it. Well, they shouldn't.
They should not.
No, it's too scary.
It's too scary
for
they
kids.
They shouldn't let me in either.
No.
Okay, and then 7:30 is the actual opening night for Theater in the Roughs, Macbeth. Again, this is one of those things where you think you've got the whole month to see it.
And I know,
the
and
next
then it slips
thing,
away.
You know, it slips away. So I actually sat down today with a map of November and wrote out, okay, I'm going to see Hairspray here. I'm going to see Oklahoma here. I'm going to see Macbeth here, the Amalga people here. You know, it's just too much.
So
okay.
grab it when you can. Is
yes.
it, get it this weekend because you're going to, it's going to,
be sorry.
It's going to be sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Going to get sold out and all that.
It's good for Halloween.
Yep, and it's good for Halloween.
There's also Halloween Skate over at the Treadwell Ice Arena, 8 p.m., and beginning merengue lessons out at Pavitt Fitness at Health at 8. Okay, so now Saturday, we have at 9 a.m. the used media sale that you guys do. CDs,
it's right
videos.
Here, and you should see the LPs especially. I mean, the LPs that get collected here are just, like, I've been going through them and going, you know, basically I've been kind of high-grading them. But I'll put them back. I'll put them back. I always take them to my desk and I go, oh, I can't let go of this. And then I go and put it back.
Yeah. Some of it, what it is the LP artwork
uh-huh.
is very cool. You don't get the same artwork on CDs. Anyway.
Jeff's here with a quick update on the media sale.
We just got 500 VHS tapes donated, and we're going to try to get rid of them all. In fact, everything that was, we're going to try to get rid of for only a dollar a piece. Records, CDs, everything is dollar
VHS.
A piece.
A dollar. You're not going to get a better deal. You're not going to get a better deal than that. Thanks,
so
Jeff.
So come on down.
VHS tapes. Any beta tapes? I'm still a beta guy.
Excellent. Okay. 9 a.m., be here. Let's see. There's also a women's self-defense workshop that the AWARE, the Juno Shotokan Karate people, and Zach Gordon are doing over at Zach Gordon Youth Center. It's $10. There's scholarships available. Pre-register by calling 586-6623. If you're a young woman, they suggest that you take mm-hmm. this. 10 a.m., it is Eat, Drink, Write. Writing about food with Emily Wall over at the Douglas Library. I was unable to ascertain whether there would be food, in fact.
Yes, okay. Or drink.
It's easier to write about it
yes.
in those cases. Fall Family Fun Fest out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitors Center, 11 a.m. It's free. Costumes should come. And
we just talked about that.
So there
it
you
was
have
great.
It.
Great, yeah.
They're going to have a great time out there. And again, there's Halloween, there's pumpkin carving and all sorts of stuff, scary, the terror trails out at Saga. At 4 p.m., Mad Monster Party at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. At 4:30 p.m., it's the Ghost Walk over at Mount Juno Douglas, in the Douglas, the 4th of July committee puts that on with the DZ Middle School folks
oh, okay.
at the Mount Jumbo Gym.
At Jumbo Gym, yeah.
Yeah. 7 p.m., it's the Monster Smash Roller Derby.
I'm emceeing this for television. I won't be on.
Really?
In the, yes, I'm, this is going to be on statewide television as well.
Goodness,
the Monster
yes.
Smash.
This is Juno Roller Girls versus the Fairbanks Roller Borealis. Tickets are still available. There's not too many of them left. There'll be a costume contest at halftime, and an after party at the Rockwell Ballroom. If you have your roller derby ticket, that's free. If you don't, it's $5. So, and then, of course, Macbeth. There's an October barn dance at 7:30 at St. Anne's Parish Hall. The Taku Gales and Tom Paul are doing that. Scaryoke at the Rendezvous.
Sure.
Busy evening. Busy evening.
Scaryoke.
Yes, scaryoke. I don't know. Are they doing...
I don't
Flying
know.
Purple People Eater? I don't know.
Anytime, I'll put it this, anytime I'm on karaoke, it's karaoke.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
10 p.m., it's Halloween at the Viking with live music and a costume contest. Sunday, there's a cultural dance fest at the Jack. It's by the Juno Human Rights Commission. This is free all ages. It's from 1 until 5 in the afternoon. And there's also pony rides out at the Fairweather Equestrian Center at 1 o'clock. This benefits 4-H. At 4 p.m., there's the Sunday Swing at the Canvas. At 6:30 p.m., there's a free drive-in movie.
Nice.
The Addams Family.
Nice. Where?
Yeah. At the Juno Urgent and Family Care on Old Dairy Road.
Okay.
This is offered by Theater at Latitude 58.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. I haven't done that in years. Monday night, totally fun. We're going to have Break of Reality, the cello thrash band.
They are great.
It's amazing stuff. It's not your average cello string quartet. It's three cellos and some percussion, and they... do everything from, I don't know what, to Led Zeppelin. It's going to be wild.
I mean, right here. this is it here. Let's
just
listen
to
it.
You going to just do a little segment there?
It's kind of, it starts off sounding like, okay, this might be classical music.
Nice.
This might sound all of a sudden like, boom. So it's very cool stuff. Yeah, yes. Break of Reality coming Monday. Very cool.
And tickets are available online and at the Jack and all that sort of stuff. 6:30 p.m., it's Bad Astronomy.
Okay.
At the planetarium.
Yes.
I'm probably guilty of that myself.
I don't know anything. I know Orion's belt, but I don't know really where it is.
It's right
it's
there.
It's that way. See that?
It's really big, and it's right there in the south these days.
I am one of those lame people that just knows the Big Dipper. It's all I know.
That's enough.
I guess.
The North Star
would be
helpful.
It's not very impressive.
On Wednesday is the actual Halloween. And there's going to be trick-or-treating at the Glory Hole. And also, I got a little flyer saying that you can order tamales for the holidays.
We already talked about that today as
okay,
well.
It's great.
$60 a bag, but $50 a bag if you order more than one. And they're getting all these different great restaurants in town to make tamales. They're going to make 3,000 tamales, Nancy.
Oh, my gosh.
3,000.
I love it. That's a lot of tamale making.
We've only got about 30 seconds left.
Nosferatu with live music by Bridget Cross and George Kuhar.
I'm so excited about this.
Okay.
I'm so excited about that. It's at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. It's going to be amazing. Halloween night.
6:30 and 8 p.m. So that's all we should really talk about, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Well, now you've got time.
I thought you said I had 30 seconds.
You did, but you only used 10 of them. Okay, now we've used it. What? One more.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Well, there's another Halloween showing, and then there's an after-school fine arts camp happening at the Rockwell Ballroom running through December 7th. Erica Lee is doing it.
Yes, we talked about it yesterday. Okay.
Okay, bye.
News
bye.
In Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama was campaigning.